Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter number 28. The book of Matthew, chapter number 28, the last chapter in the book of Matthew. Please, everybody read this scripture with me. And I want to give you a burden that's on my heart. I've got a burden. I have a burden for y'all, for everybody this morning. Please listen. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. The Lord said this right before he went back to heaven, told his disciples, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, he just meant that to the apostles. Wait a minute. Look at the next verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. He didn't just mean the apostles. He said, you teach them what I've just taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the Great Commission. You've heard preachers say that down through the years. That's our story. The Lord commissioned the apostles and told them. He said, now, guys, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven. What I want you to do, you go all over this world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then you teach them to do what I've told you to do. Because they ain't going to live forever. The apostles are going to die. And so he said, they got to teach it, and they got to teach it, and they got to teach it. That's the Great Commission. And he told them to do it. This is the command of our commander, and a clear-cut command. He didn't say text everybody you know, message everybody you know. He said you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every single creature. They didn't have text. They didn't have radio programs. They didn't have television. They didn't have even the printed page. They just wrote something. One person write something to another person, give it to them. They didn't run off. They didn't have tracts. They didn't have Christian publications. All they had, they didn't even have a Bible. Wasn't wrote yet. All they had was Old Testament, and most of them probably didn't even have a copy of that of their own. They had word of mouth. They had word of mouth. That's all they had. Now, I want to say a few things about this morning and challenge everybody here in our church. You are included in this Great Commission. You're included. I'm going to challenge you this morning, be a soul winner. Win somebody else for Jesus Christ. First of all, the command is great. That's why they call it the Great Commission. What a command. Go, he said, into all the world and teach all nations. It's from our commander. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. If you want to do it all right, if you don't want to do it all right. Let me tell you something, people. You don't have to pray about doing something God told you to do. If you told your son or daughter, do your homework. And they said, well, Mom, I'll pray about it. No. It is an order. An order is an order. And I want to tell you, you don't pray about doing your homework. You do if you got good sense. If you say, son, take out the trash. Take out the trash. He said, Mama, I don't feel led to take out the trash. I'm thinking about it. Well, by the time you can feel a little leather, and maybe then you'll feel led. Maybe then you'll feel led, right? There's things he can do to make you feel led. And I'm about sick up to here with Christian people, preachers all over this country saying, well, I don't really feel led to go. You don't have to feel led to do what God told you to do. You don't have to pray about doing it. God said do it, you just do it. You feel led, do it. If you don't feel led, do it. I've even heard preachers that's so pitiful, backslid, lazy preachers, got up and say, well, just going out, knocking on these doors, that don't do no good if you're not led. Listen, you backslider. You do not have to feel led to do what God said to do. We have a command. Everybody in here has a command. One lady said, well, I just don't believe that that was just the apostles, so women don't have to witness. Well, the woman at the well did. She went and told the whole men of the city Luke, come see a man, told me everything I did. Mary at the cross, at the resurrection, went and told all the disciples. Women can be witnesses. Women can be and should be witnesses for the Lord. Children can be and should be witness for the Lord. Every person that's saved should be a witness for the Lord. D.L. Moody, the great preacher years ago, said he saw a picture. And somebody painted this art, and he saw this picture of a man in a storm, and water was raining like a flood, and he was holding on to the cross. And he said, "My, isn't that a great picture?" And then on down, he saw another picture, and he saw a man in the storm holding on the cross and reaching down, pulling somebody else up too. And he said, "I like that picture better. It's good that we're saved. Reach down, pull somebody else up with you." Can I get an amen right there? Now, basically, here's what the Lord said. I'll use illustration right quick. Let's just say you four guys right here. Come up here and stand right here just a second. All right, you four guys right there. One, two, three, four. That's what I have to work with. I said, look, these four guys right here, let's just say I'm going to be standing in the place of the Lord. I'm not the Lord, but I'm going to stand in place. Turn around here. I'm talking to you. All right. And the Lord, before he goes back to heaven, he said, "Now look, you guys, I want you to go into all the world. Out there in our church today, this is all the world." Imagine, right ahead, right? Like a picture of the map. All there. Here's Australia, China, Japan, Africa, the West Indies, all the islands, Solomon Island, Virgin Islands, all the Canada, Alaska, all the world. And he said, "I want you to go and tell them Jesus died for your sins. He rose again, and you get them saved. And then you teach them to observe whatever I have commanded you." Okay? I'm going back to heaven. Go! Now, when he says that, I want y'all, DJ, you go over here into this country. That's Japan or somewhere. Austin, you go to this country. Ethan, you go to that country. And Jeff, you go to that foreign country over yonder. All right, now you win you a soul. Find somebody, and you start witnessing to them. All right? Now they're out there on the field. Find you somebody to witness to. Find you somebody to witness. All right, they're witnessing. Okay? All right, now y'all witness now while I'm talking. They're witnessing. God said go. Now God said go. There's one over there in Australia, China, Africa, Japan. They're over there, and they're witnessing to them. You get them on their knees, and they pray, and you ask the Lord to save them. All right, we start out with four. He started out with 12. We start out with four. Okay, are they saved now? All right, all you young converts, stand up. All you people just got saved, stand up. Now, you boys stay right there with you, converts. All right, now how many Christians we got in the world? Eight. We have eight Christians in the world because the disciples done what Jesus said to do. Now, if that had been most of you, the world went to hell. Because you don't ever tell nobody about the Lord. He didn't say if you feel led. He didn't say when you feel goosebumps going. He said they're going to hell. Go tell them. Now watch this. Now you teach them to observe what I've commanded you. So all of you now, all eight of you now, go find somebody and win them to the Lord. All right. Find somebody and win the Lord. I can tell you there ain't no hope for him. I'm already saved. I'm Jesus. No, I'm not. All right. Y'all got somebody led to the Lord. Who got somebody led to the Lord? You converts. You converts got somebody led to the Lord. All right. You got one over there. You got one. You got somebody led to the Lord. Converts got somebody led to the Lord. All right. They all got saved. All right. Now, all of you stand up. All of you new converts stand up. We have now what? 16. Wrong? 12? All right, we had 8. Now we got what? We got 16. We got 16. How many people have you led to the Lord, Austin? 2. That disciple led 2 people to the Lord. Now we got 16 Christians in the world. 16 already. You see what could happen if everybody done what Jesus said? Oh, he's just talking to preachers. That ain't what he said. He said, you lead them to the Lord, and then you teach them to do what I've told you. Right? One more time, all of you 16, lead somebody to the Lord. There's no hope for her, that's for sure. She's crossed God's deadline. All right. Lead somebody to the Lord. All you 16, lead somebody to the Lord. 16, going to win. And these disciples by now, you found somebody? Lord, there's some hard cases out here. A hard case out. All right. All you people just got saved, stand up. All you people just got saved, stand up. Now we got 32 Christians. We got 32 Christians from all the parts of different parts of the world. We got 32 Christians, glory to God. And then it turned in, and then first thing you know, the disciples die. Right? Die, Ethan. He died. Die, Austin. All right, the disciples, they done kicked out. They fell over dead one day. Two disciples died, but they still 30 Christians in the world. That's right. And see, you know what happened? You know what happened? They told somebody, and they told somebody, and they told somebody, and they told somebody, and somebody told old Joe Parson. He come to Nebo, preached. Little Danny went into the church at night. Got the grace of God. I've been telling you, Shining Light Baptist Church is here today because somebody took the Lord serious at what he said. All right, you can all sit back down. That's my point. Look here. It is a command that is great. A command that is great. For all you preachers that listen to me online to get illustrations, I want to give you something here this morning. Hey, listen to me. I heard of a preacher one time. He told this guy, said this. He said, now, if you want to bring all these people in your church and have a big crowd and everything, he said, that's totally fine. But I prefer to have a small group and spend a lot of time in my library and teach the deeper truths and the lower lows and the wider widths and the higher heights. And he said, I prefer just to feed the sheep. And all that. And old John R. Rice wanted to look back at him. He said, you know what? There ain't nothing wrong with you, preacher. That couldn't be fixed just like any other drunk or drug dealer. A trip to the altar. That's what he needs. He needs a trip to the altar and ask God to forgive him. Listen, people. Hey, listen to me. Do we believe this or not? I mean, who are we trying to kid here? I mean, look, if we believe it, let's act like we do. If we don't, what are you doing here? What are you doing here today? Well, I don't know. It's Sunday and I go to church. Let me tell you something. If we believe what we say we believe and don't tell somebody, we're criminals. If we don't believe what we say we believe, we're hypocrites. If you say you believe it and don't, you're a hypocrite, right? But if you really do believe it and don't tell somebody, you're a criminal. That's a crime. If I saw one of these kids walking out that door right there this morning, and I really believed that there was 35 rattlesnakes out there, you think I'd just sit back and say, I don't feel led to talk to them. I'm going to go to a picnic Saturday. No. Lord, I'd say, come on, kid. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know I am. And God knows we need our bus ministry. We need bus workers. We need bus drivers. And please, don't get this junk. Don't tell me this junk of Saturday morning is just bus visitation for bus work. That's the biggest. Listen, I'm going. So you know where I'm going Saturday morning? Door to door. Just like the apostles did. Just like the apostles did. Just like the apostles did. You say, well, Brother Danny, you got to be called. You're called. If you're saved, you're called to do a work for God. They say, well, Brother Danny, what about this? Gentlemen, like the old preacher guy said, gentlemen, an order is an order. Gentlemen, an order is an order. I said the command is great. I will say number two this morning, the cry is great. The cry is great. Over there in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible said that man told Paul, he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. The cry, you don't have to get that. The cry is great. Yeah, the cry is great. The cry is great. Great. People crying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. We have today in the service, I don't know if he's in here or back there, one of our little buskies, Daniel back yonder, his mother just passed away. Just yesterday, they're trying to raise some money to help pay her funeral. If y'all want to help with that, it's sad. Little Daniel comes to church here every Sunday. He's about that tall. Back there in the junior church, we have Naomi who just comes sits over there with the Barbie girls sometimes when she's here. Her mother just passed away the other day. Some of these kids are crying. They're crying. Somebody come. Somebody come tell me. Somebody come help me. Somebody come. I wish. Listen, they look for our buses. They look for our bus workers. They wonder, where are you? Where are you? When I've been on bus route before and they say, well, we wondered where y'all have been. The cry is great. The cry is great. I got Brother Jimmy sitting right back there on the back. Good to see Brother Jimmy this morning. Raise your hand back there, Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy was down in his house down there in Hickory several years ago. And God had been dealing with Jimmy's heart. And I heard Jimmy tell it. He said he was telling people at work, you know what? I need to get in church. I need to get in church. I need to find a good church to go to. And lo and behold, Shining Light Baptist Church bought a bus. Shining Light Baptist Church had a man that was willing to go, Brother Mike Slaughter. And Mike knocked on his door and invited Jimmy to church from Hickory. Jimmy came a few Sundays. He sat right back there in the back. And I met him. And I said, Jimmy, are you going to get saved? He said, nope. Not today, Danny. I'm going to get saved on my birthday. And I said, well, I don't, that's kind of risky there. You know, you might die. I'm like, that's a weird thing somebody say, but that's what he said. And sure enough, on his birthday, he got saved. He sure did. And you know what? He's sitting here this morning saved and on his way to heaven because Brother Mike obeyed Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. Well, I'm not called. Yes, you are. You just don't listen. I don't feel led. Don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter. The cry is great. I was visiting yesterday. I couldn't even tell y'all what all happened to me just yesterday. And I usually go visit, and if it's not too late, I'll stop by the flea market on the way home, buying some apples, and take them home. Well, I went broke yesterday and had change in my pocket and bought two pair of socks. But I took tracts, and I was giving them out. And I give tracts to this one guy. I don't know what he's some kind of other religion, but he likes me for some reason. I always lay my tract down there and say, read it. And he'll say, hey, boss, you know what? He said, I found one of your pieces of literature in the restroom. He said, people shouldn't do that. People shouldn't throw those things down. People shouldn't throw those things. And he knows there's a God. Anyway, well, I tried to talk to him yesterday, and I said, Jesus, your best friend. And he said, yeah, God is. I know God is. I said, no, Jesus died for you. He said, but I know God is. I said, wait a minute. Jesus, he said, you don't believe Jesus is God, do you? I said, yes. He said, you mean tell me Jesus was a man like us and ate like us and God did that? I said, yes. He sure did. He said, you mean to tell me? He said, how can he be three and how can he be one? And I said, snow, water, and ice. They're all three, but they're all one. H2O. I said, football. Outside, he said, oh, you're comparing God to a football. You're comparing God to a football. I said, I'm just trying to make it so you can understand it, dummy. But I'm breaking it down for you on your level. That's what I'm doing. He said, you can't compare God to a football. Snow, ice, all that. I said, well, you read that and I'll be back. That man's over there. He's going to hell. Somebody don't give him the gospel. All somebody else to do it. I bet you're glad that somebody told you. I bet you're glad somebody had the lights on when you went to the house of God. I bet you're glad somebody prayed a fire down when you got in that night. I'm challenging you this morning, be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. And then about that time, went in this other place. Never laid eyes on this lady in my life. Her and her husband running a business. I said, here you go. Read that when you get time. She said, now, who are you? I said, Danny. She wrote my name down. She said, can I ask you some questions? I stayed in there 30 minutes asking me questions about reincarnation, asking me questions about could a pedophile be forgiven, asking me questions about how do you when you die, do you go immediately just over and over? And I just boom, 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 boom. She's raised Mormon. All confused. Had trouble. You pray for her. You pray for her. I'm going to try to go back and witness to her. Just a young lady, three kids. The cry is great. Little Daniel's family over there. Thank God somebody cares enough to go. I know our church is different in that we're so spread out. We got people that live way up that way an hour, and people live way that way for an hour, people live way that way for an hour. I don't expect everybody to do this all the time. Go in your community. Get you some tracts this morning. Get you some of these right here before you leave and say, you know what? My preacher's going to preach on the Rona. You come on and be with us and talk to them about it. You talk about a conversation starter. Is that one or what? Listen, great people, the cry is great. The cry is great. I know I'm backslid. When I go and there's a big crowd of people and I say, good night, I wish these people get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. I know I'm backslid when I think like that. Because when I'm really, really right with God, I think, all these people, where are they going to go? What's going to happen to them? That's what I think when I'm really right with God. How long has it been since you thought like that? The cry is great. But let me say thirdly, the commitment must be great. The commitment must be great. The harvest is ripe. Pray the Lord that he'll send laborers into the harvest. Martin Luther said this, "Do thou, God, stand by me, thou eternal God, help me to get this done." D.L. Moody said, "Use me, Lord, for whatever purpose and whatever way you may require. Here is my heart. I'm an empty vessel. Use it for your glory." David Brainerd, the missionary to the American Indians, said this. He said, I desire nothing more. I desire nothing less than to be in your will and witness and do what God has called me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, George Whitefield, the great preacher, said, "Lord, give me souls or take my soul." Buddy, there's a man right there. There's a man with a heart for souls. He said, "Lord, give me souls or take my soul." He said, "Lord, if I can't win souls, just take me out of this world. Lord, give me souls or take my soul." Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning. The apostles went door to door and door to door. Don't get sidetracked. The devil, I'll tell you what the devil wants. The devil wants Christians in church to start fussing about stuff that don't even matter while the world dies and goes to hell. That's what the devil wants. All this arguing and fussing back and forth about stuff, God ain't in a million miles of that. Listen, I'll sit down and talk. If you want to sit down and talk about the Bible, I'll do it 3 hours. If you want to ask questions and us discuss things, maybe if we disagree with them, we'll sit down and we'll discuss it. But I ain't got 5 minutes to wait for nobody in here fussing and arguing. I just ain't going to do it. If you're going to fuss and argue, I'll just get in the car and go talk to somebody that don't want to fuss. I'm not going to do it. How do you think the devil must laugh at preachers on the internet, and all they're doing is trying to straighten each other out and rebuke each other, and neither one of them ain't right with God, or they'd be using their platform to reach somebody else for the glory of God like God told a preacher to do. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Amen. A man said one time, he said, "Well, I just let people see Christ in me. My life is a witness." Well, whenever you're getting ready to get right with God, let me know. And I'll go to the altar and pray with you that God will forgive you for being such a scaredy cat and that you'll get right with the Lord and start doing what he told you to do. Your life's supposed to be a witness and your lips are supposed to be a witness. You walkie, walkie, walkie and talkie, talkie, talkie. Right. You walk, got to match your talk. You talk, got to match your walk. We're supposed to do both. You say, "Brother Danny, I'm confined at home. I don't have no car. You got a telephone. You can call everybody in phone book, brother. Time you get them all through, but more moved in to start all over again. To witness, witness, witness." You know what I've heard people say? They say, "God's called me to sing, so that's the way I witness." No, 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 no. And I go, I ain't got much confidence in a singer that'll travel all over the country going to churches and singing and don't ever go across the street and talk to their neighbor about their soul. Don't give me this junk about you have a burden for souls. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I can't stand here. Preachers get up and say, "Well, I tried to get them boys at our church to start a bus ministry, but they won't. I'm busy." Well, I'll pray for you to get right with the Lord, sir. If you're too busy to witness, you better make some changes somewhere. You got people at work you can witness to. You got people around you can witness to. Your neighbors, your friend. I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get a phone call one of these days, and there's going to be somebody crying on the other end saying they're gone. Your uncle, your brother, your sister. The devil wants us sidetracked. Somebody say, "Well, the world's so wicked now, I'm just going to take my family and we're just going to hunker down and stay away from the world." Well, whenever you get ready to get right with the Lord, call me and I'll help pray with you. I believe in coming out from among them. I believe in being separate. I believe in all that. But brother, we're in this world. We are not of this world. And the Lord never told them disciples, "Go over there and hide until I come back." He told them, "Go get down there until the Holy Ghost come on them and then get out of there and take that word out everywhere they go." When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you get them to do something. Singing is not soul winning. Serving food at the camp meeting is not soul winning. It's good. but it's not soul winning. Amen? That's right. That's right. Listen, you know what I heard a preacher say? I listen to a lot of preachers. Listen to me. I heard a preacher say, well, you don't want a big crowd of people like that because you get all kind of riff-raff in there and sinners. And I think I like to keep my church small so I can keep it pure. Bro, I don't know what kind of dope you've been smoking, or you just think somebody going to believe that. Some of them little churches are some of the most unpure places I've ever been in my life. Amen, amen, amen. What makes you think? Look, Jesus had 12, and one was a devil. That's right. That's right. Pure church, your foot. Listen, you say, well, I got my little 40 and every one of them lived right. They got you fooled, or you got them fooled or something. If you got 12, you got a devil. Are you doing better than Jesus? If you got 24, you got two devils. If you got 36, you got three devils. You're doing better than Jesus. We probably got 20 devils in here this morning. But look, the Lord made Judas welcome, and they went ahead and done it anyway. Listen, the commitment is great. I admire people who are committed to go witnessing. My goodness. When I first got saved, I heard them preachers preach on soul winning. And I heard them, I went to Asheville. Some preacher over there was having what they call a soul winning conference. And I sat down and took my Bible. And that's the first time I'd ever heard somebody in person teach the Roman road. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 10:13, Romans 10:9. And I wrote to them, I could not wait to get out of there. So I tried on somebody, and I did. And I went out and I tried it on somebody. And you don't have to use that to win somebody the Lord. You can win somebody the Lord with just about any book of the Bible. And I tried to do that. And I admired those men that stayed with it when it's not easy, when you don't want to, when the weather's pretty, when the weather's bad, when it's cold, when it's hot. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. So I have fuss with my wife. Go anyway. You want to wait till everything's right? Never happen. Let's do business with God. I challenge every person in this room today, you go witness somebody. They don't have to come to our church. You can go out in your community. I've thought about the other day. It's about time I hit Hoppy Tom again. We got a couple move in out. About know everybody on my road. So now I'll take tracks and go to every house down Hoppy Tom, because I'm a hypocrite. If I go out here, let's go to Hickory or send missionaries to Philippines, and I won't even talk to the people that live on Hoppy Tom Holler. I know this is tough for some of y'all to swallow, but this can't be wrong. This can't be wrong. You know it's right. You know it's right. I think about old Bill back here. Where is Bill? Is he gone to get pizza? Old Bill's been driving a bus, I think, at least 17 or 18 years. Bill sits back there and never says a word. Never shouts, never runs around Bill. I wish he would. I'd like to see that one time. You never hear a word out of old Bill. He's real quiet in nature. He's been driving a bus faithfully for 17 or 18 years. He didn't get 40 and say, well, it's about time I sit back, let some of the young people. No, I've heard people say that. Listen, people, the commitment is great. The devil wants us to fuss on the internet about eternal security, or about the gap theory, or about prayer in school, or abortion, or, Lord help, the coronavirus. I know I heard another man and his wife the other day disagreed on how to handle the coronavirus and about ready to separate and get divorced over it. Churches are fine. They're judging this because of that. They're judging them because of that. They're judging this because of that. Ain't none of them got enough sense to judge nobody. The devil wants you to sit around and argue. There's some people right now, their main thing in their Christian life is to get everybody convinced to agree with them on how they feel about the coronavirus. I got my feelings. You have yours too. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm not going to sit around and try to figure out the coronavirus when the whole community is dying without God. Ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. Last thing I'll say, and I'm through. The consequences are great. Consequences are great. Oh my. Revelation 20 and verse 15. You believe the Bible? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and murdering sorcerers and idolaters shall all have their part which burneth in the lake of fire and burneth with fire and brimstone. The rich man in hell cried. They're crying in hell. God, Father Abraham, Father Abraham. You say, well, Brother Danny, that fire is just symbolic. It's not real fire. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. That ain't symbolic. Torment ain't symbolic. Flame ain't symbolic. If we believe it and don't do nothing about it, we're criminals. If we say we believe it and don't, we're hypocrites. Which are you? If you lined up all the lost people in this world, arm length, it would reach around the world, somebody figured this, 30 times around the equator. You'd have to drive 50 miles an hour, 10 hours a day, driving past these people. It would take over 4 years just to pass them up driving 55 miles an hour. And by then, the line will have grown another 20 miles. 30,000 more people, or more mile length on that line. Heaven is forever. Hell's forever. I heard a story the other day, and this little girl called 911, and they said, she was screaming. She said, Daddy came in and shot Mommy, and he shot my little brother, and he shot me, and then he shot himself. She said, they're all dead. But he thought she's dead and didn't. It just went through her and wounded her. And they said, now, honey, are you sure? He said, Mom and Daddy's dead. Brother's dead. And the little girl said, can you come get me? Can you come and get me? Man, when I heard that story, it's like over there in those apartments down in Hickory. Mama's dead. Daddy's dead spiritually. Whole family, and some little girl saying, can you come and get me? I'm not going to fuss at y'all. I'm trusting God to put a burden on somebody's heart. Say, Brother Danny, God's been good to me. We don't have long in this world. I'm going to use what I've got for the glory of God. I want us to make up our mind. We're going to be a witness. We're going to be so. Some people have to work on Saturday. I understand that. You ought to have some time. When you go witnessing. I'm not talking about just witnessing when you run into somebody at Walmart. I'm going for that specific purpose. Knock on that door. And when you leave, they'll say, somebody from that church cared about me. The consequences are great. The command is great. Our commitment's got to be great. I've been in the bus ministry since 1980. It's harder now than it's ever been. In 1980, you could go out in the community and say, we're going to have pizza on the bus tomorrow morning. Fill it full, just like that. Now it's expected. Kids have so much. They already got cell phones. They already got... I'm telling you, we're living in a bad time, y'all. But that's why the Lord said we're to go in season, out of season, preach the word. I don't know if God's dealing with you today or not, but girls, why don't y'all come sing a song for me this morning? Me ladies. And I'm going to sing, He Never Gave Up On Me. And I'm glad this morning the Lord never gave up on me. I'm glad to send somebody to my community with the gospel. I'm glad the Lord cared enough about me. To send a preacher by. As far as I'm going by. Tell me the gospel. Can't you hear that little girl saying, will you come get me? Y'all, sometimes I don't say nothing about it because they're sitting in here. But There's a mob of them back there in Junior Church this morning. You ought to go look at it. And if it was not for Shining Light Baptist Church bus ministry, those kids wouldn't even know the story of Jesus and the songs and the love of God. Let's get in it. You say, preacher, I want to go visit him, but I don't know what to say. Just go stand there with somebody. The Lord will give you the words. All you got to know is I'm saved and I want you to get saved. That's it. If you know that much, you know enough to say. He saved me and he can do it for you. We're going to pray. We're going to stand. And everybody that's in here this morning, as we close, I wonder if you'd say, Lord, I'm going to get me some tracks. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to try. Time's running out. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Pray now that you'd work in our church. You know the burden that's on my heart. Lord, please. Lord, help me. Help me as a preacher to be the example that these folks need to follow. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd give us a burden for souls like we've never had before. This may be our last chance. This may be our last fall. This may be our last opportunity to be a witness for you. Do something in my heart. I'm glad you never gave up on me. And Lord, help us not to give up on the buses, on the souls, on our family, our neighbors, our cousins and brothers and sisters. Help us now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's